President Thomas Jefferson said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power."
Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Foundations of Freedom Thursday today here on Wall Builders Live. Every day of the week, we're talking about today's hottest topics on policy and faith and the culture, always approaching it from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. But on Thursdays, we let you drive the conversation. So you can send in your emails to radio@wallbuilders.com. That's radio@wallbuilders.com. Send your questions about the Founding Fathers, about an issue of the day, and how to apply that biblical perspective or historical perspective, or maybe some area of the Constitution. But Foundations of Freedom Thursday is a chance for us to take some of those questions and let that determine our topic for the day. We're here with David Barton. He's America's premier historian and the founder of Wall Builders. My name is Rick Green. I'm a former Texas state representative and a national speaker and author. You can find out more about us in the program and even some of the archives of the program there at wallbuilderslive.com. That's our radio site, wallbuilderslive.com. And then if you go over to wallbuilders.com, you can get all kinds of resources for your church, for your school, for your family. Just a great way to get educated as a citizen on the history of our country, the faith of our founders, and specific actions on what you can do in the culture today. So, David, we've got a lot of questions today. Probably won't get to nearly all of them, but we'll try to get to as many as we can if you're ready.
Yes, sir. Fire away.
Our first question today comes from someone that says they actually are fans. They like you, David. They say, "I respect Wall Builders and David Barton a lot, but I'd like some information."
Yeah, you got to watch out. You got to watch out for those buts.
You always, know something's coming, right?
Yeah.
"Would like some information for clarification regarding some of David's historical facts. I've listened to David's facts on Founding Fathers and Slavery on Glenn Beck's website. I've listened to it many times, and I've let others listen to it. And David speaks about slavery and the Founding Fathers and Thomas Jefferson, and he says that 14 of the 56 signers of the Declaration had slaves. Now, the person sent in the email also says, "I respect Tucker Carlson and Fox as well." And he sent a picture and said, is this not a typo on the screen? Because Tucker, David, was talking about the tearing down of the statues and stuff and everybody going after the Founding Fathers. And he had a slide where he said 41 of 56 Declaration of Independence signers were slaveholders. And so
that kind of sounds like a little dyslexic thing there. I say 14, he says 41, same
right.
Numbers.
Exactly backwards, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why he's wondering if it's a typo, because
yes.
I said 14, he said 41.
That's right. So he wanted you to speak on this. So I'll toss it to you, bro. Go ahead.
14, we don't actually say that 14 owned slaves. We say that 14 were pro-slavery. Much more than 14 owned slaves. And by the way, 41 may be right with what Tucker has, but I thought it's interesting. And I think Tucker does a really good job. But whoever put together those graphics says 14 of the 56 signers of the Declaration owned slaves. The two pictures they have up there are of James Madison and George Mason. Wait a minute. Neither one of those guys are signers of the Declaration. So they've got two Founding Fathers up there that were slave owners, and the graphic talks about signers of the Declaration. So, you know, all that aside, but you go back to it, and what you find is that in so many of the states, like in Virginia, if you inherit dowry slaves, and that's slaves that come from your wife's side when you get married, she has the dowry and the family often gives slaves. In Virginia, you are not allowed ever to free dowry slaves. You just can't do it. And so that means if you marry someone who has slaves, you are now a slave owner. Now, that doesn't mean you went out and bought them, doesn't mean you like slavery, but in Virginia, that's the state law. You're stuck with that. And so a number of Founding Fathers were in situations where they owned slaves, but they themselves were not pro-slavery, which is why you go back to what happened in 1773 and 1774. You had states like Rhode Island, and you had states like Connecticut and Pennsylvania and Massachusetts passing anti-slavery laws. In 1774, King George III vetoed every anti-slavery law in America. He said, "You guys can't do that. You're part of the British Empire. We have slavery. That's the way it is. You cannot have anti-slavery laws." which led a number of the founding fathers at that point in time to say, let's not be part of the British Empire because we don't want slavery anymore and we don't want slavery imposed on us and we want to be able to end slavery if we want to end slavery. And a number of those founding fathers were slave owners, situations of inheritance or something else. So that's part of what goes on. Now, just because you own slaves, does that mean that you are pro-slavery? No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, take Benjamin Rush.
And see, that's a hard one, David. That's a hard one for people to get their head around, to say they own slaves, but they weren't pro-slavery.
All right, Rick, let's go on a different analogy. We think that abortion is absolutely, totally wrong, that it's immoral, there's no compromise with that. Absolutely. Any way, shape, fashion, form. It is an evil. It is a wrong. And yet, how many pro-life people do we know that had abortions or ran abortion clinics? You know, Abby Johnson is one. She used to run Planned Parenthood clinics. Now she's one of the leading pro-life advocates. Or Rick, our friend in Dallas, Carol Everett. I mean, she ran abortion clinics. She's now a huge pro-life leader. But wait, they did abortions. They killed unborn children. They can't be pro-life. No, the situation of the day was fairly complicated. We know of a lot of women who have had abortions or ran abortion clinics that are now strong pro-life advocates.
In fact, some of the most powerful ads and commercials for life are people like Alveda King and so many other leaders that come out in that ad and say, don't let anybody tell you an abortion does not affect you later on in life. And they talk about their own experiences and how they're pro-life now, but they did participate in an abortion. So you're exactly right. I mean, how can they say they're pro-life after participating in it? Can we say the same of someone that participated in slavery? Perhaps not at their own choosing, as you were describing a lot of these guys. It was something they inherited, and they tried to get, you know, end it and be part of ending slavery. So they did, you're saying they did own slaves, but were still anti-slavery, which is in fact possible.
Yep, it's possible. And matter of fact, I'll go through some real significant founding fathers who owned slaves that nobody even thinks about today.
Hold that thought. Well, let's hit them. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Some founding fathers that were slaveholders, but were actually anti-slavery. And then I'm sure you've got some we'll talk about that were not slaveholders and were the beginning of the anti-slavery movement. Stay with us, folks. You're listening to Wall Builders Live.
Calvin Coolidge said, "The more I study the Constitution, the more I realize that no other document devised by the hand of man has brought so much progress and happiness to humanity. To live under the American Constitution is the greatest political privilege that was ever accorded to the human race."
This is Tim Barton from Wall Builders with another moment from American history. In 1963, the United States Supreme Court decided that voluntary Bible reading could no longer be part of the school day. Founding Father Benjamin Rush, known as the father of public schools under the Constitution, pointedly warned that the Bible should be read in schools in preference to all other books. He specifically warned that if America ever ceased promoting biblical principles in schools, then we would waste so much time and money in punishing crimes and take so little pains to prevent them. He was right. We now have 7 million Americans in prison, on probation or on parole, and the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world. Sadly, this was unnecessary, but is the result of no longer teaching the morals of the Bible in schools. For more information about the Founding Fathers' views on the positive impact of the Bible in schools, go to wallbuilders.com.
Abraham Lincoln said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution."
Welcome back to Wall Builders Live, Foundations of Freedom Thursday today. That's why you'll hear some of those out of the mouths of babes quotes. It's actually Founding Fathers quotes out of the mouths of babes that we love to share during our bumper music on these Foundations of Freedom Thursdays. Today's topic, we have our first question from the audience has to do with founding fathers that were actually slaveholders, but also anti-slavery. And David, you were explaining how that's possible. And I think the abortion analogy you used is a perfect example of that. Folks today that are very pro-life but participated in an abortion earlier in their life, perhaps that's part of what drives them to be so pro-life. And maybe the same is true for some of these folks in the founding era that were so anti-slavery.
Well, you have so many founding, you know, if you think of anti-slavery founding fathers, certainly one of the first that comes to mind, the first two that come to mind would be Benjamin Franklin and Benjamin Rush, because they founded the first anti-slavery society in America. When King George III in 1774 vetoed their anti-slavery laws, they created a society, civil disobedience. They said, we're going to end slavery anyway. Watch this. They're still British citizens, and they have now created an anti-slavery society in 1774. So both of these guys create anti-slavery societies. Benjamin Rush goes on to be the national leader of the abolition movement. He has the national abolition movement, abolition chapters all across the United States. He trains the first black physicians. He helps start the first black denomination. Benjamin Rush was a slave owner, and he remained a slave owner until one night he had a dream. And in that dream, Anthony Benezet appeared to him. Now, nobody knows who Anthony Benezet is today, but we used to study history, and we knew that he was a Quaker who was one of the loudest voices against slavery in America. And Anthony Benezet, in this dream, talked to Benjamin Rush and said, slave owning is wrong. And Rush is like, huh? Why is it wrong? And hadn't even thought about it before. Matter of fact, I got a great quote here I want to read from John Jay. John Jay says, prior to the Great Revolution, the American Revolution, the great majority of our people had been so long accustomed to the practice and convenience of having slaves that very few among them ever doubted the propriety and rectitude of it. I mean, it's just been part of our custom and habit so long, nobody even thought about it. And so here Anthony Benezet appears to Benjamin Rush and says, hey, you shouldn't be owning slaves. And Rush ended slave. He got rid of slaves. He was a slaveholder.
And this is a guy. What, he was Pennsylvania, right?
He was Pennsylvania.
So this is not a southern, even a southern state.
Oh, no, it's not a southern state. As a matter of fact, I think, was it William Floyd, who was the largest slaveholder in New York? He owned more slaves. He's a founding father, owned more slaves than anybody in New York. He had six slaves, I think it was. That's the largest slaveholder in New York. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
You know, you're looking in the South, slave owners with 1,000 slaves at a time. Well, that's the difference between the North and the South. So, yes, you own slaves. Benjamin Franklin, he owns a slave. Now, he got rid of his slave and freed his slave, but he's an anti-slavery guy, no question about it. He heads the Pennsylvania Abolition Society. So you've got him. You got guys like William Whipple. William Whipple, I think, is a signer of the Declaration from Rhode Island. And this kind of goes to what John Jay was saying about people just had never thought about it being wrong. Because in the North, you raised slaves like they were part of your family. Now, granted, they were slaves, but it wasn't the plantation life of the South. They were in the house with you and educated, and they just weren't what we think of with slaves. And so what happened is William Whipple, signer of the Declaration, becomes a general. So he's going off to fight with George Washington, and he takes Prince with him, and that's the name of his slave is Prince Whipple. And so Prince goes with him, and as they're getting close to joining George Washington on Christmas night, 1776, for the crossing of the Delaware, they're going to be there for that, and they're going to have to surprise attack the next morning at the Battle of Trenton. You have William Whipple turn to his slave, Prince Whipple, and says, Prince, I hope you're going to behave like a man of courage and fight bravely for your country. And Prince replied, sir, I have no inducement to fight. But if I had my liberty, I would endeavor to defend it to the last drop of my blood. And Whipple goes, that's right. You are a slave. Aren't I? I forgot all about it. He freed him on the spot.
On the spot.
On the spot. Freedom. It's never crossed my mind. Of course. And so in the famous picture of Washington crossing the Delaware, you have Prince Whipple there in the boat with George Washington. Now, he wasn't in the actual boat with Washington. That painting is a depiction of kind of what went on. And you got James Monroe in there, and you have Oliver Cromwell and Prince Whipple, two blacks in the boat with Washington. But, and by the way, those blacks served throughout the Revolution, served a long time. But that's the kind of a thing that there's a founding father who owned slaves, but he didn't think about being slaves. And when he's challenged about it, that if I had my freedom, of course, we're all fighting for our freedom. Of course you're free. And so he frees him on the spot. So you have a number of founding fathers who owned slaves but were not pro-slavery. And that's the big difference. There's a huge difference between being a slave owner and being a pro-slavery guy.
It's almost like, David, sometimes people will take a phrase out of the Constitution and try to interpret it in today's language. This is similar to that. You have to get in a time machine, and you got to go back to that day and try to insert yourself in their lives to really understand why they did some of the things they did, instead of taking one fact from their biography or their history and trying to, you know, paint them with that one thing and assume that you understand what they were really all about or what they really believe. We got to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Wall Builders Live.
Thomas Jefferson said, "The constitutions of most of our states and of the United States assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed, and that they are entitled to freedom of person, freedom of religion, freedom of property, and freedom of press."
Have you ever wanted to learn more about the United States Constitution but just felt like, man, the classes are boring, or it's just that old language from 200 years ago, or I don't know where to start? People want to know, but it gets frustrating because you don't know where to look for truth about the Constitution either. Well, we've got a special program for you available now called Constitution Alive with David Barton and Rick Green, and it's actually a teaching done on the Constitution at Independence Hall in the very room where the Constitution was framed. We take you both to Philadelphia, the cradle of liberty and Independence Hall, and to the Wall Builders Library, where David Barton brings the history to life to teach the original intent of our founding fathers. We call it the Quick Start Guide to the Constitution because in just a few hours through these videos, you will learn the Citizen's Guide to America's Constitution. You'll learn what you need to do to help save our constitutional republic. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's going to inspire you to do your part to preserve freedom for future generations. It's called Constitution Alive with David Barton and Rick Green. You can find out more information on our website now at wallbuilders.com.
Samuel Adams said, "The liberties of our country and the freedom of our civil constitution are worth defending against all hazards. And it is our duty to defend them against all attacks."
Welcome back to Wall Builders Live, Foundations of Freedom Thursday. Today, we're taking your questions. You can send those in via email to radio@wallbuilders.com. That's radio@wallbuilders.com. We've been answering a question from Glenn that had to do with the Founding Fathers and slavery, and a slide Tucker Carlson had in terms of the number of Declaration of Independence signers that were either slaveholders or pro-slavery, and there's definitely a difference between the two. And David, you've pointed that out very well, the difference between being a slaveholder sometime, some point in a person's history, versus being pro-slavery or anti-slavery.
Yeah, let's do a different measurement. Let's take the abortion issue we were talking about before. Are we going to say that Abby Johnson and Carol Everett are pro-abortion because they did abortions at one time and had abortions? No, we're not.
Can't. Yeah, definitely not.
They own slaves. Why aren't they pro-slavery? No, the question you ask is, what did in the overall course of their life, did they do anything to end abortion? Yeah. Carol Everett's had in how many groups, and Abby Johnson all over. Yeah, they are anti-abortion, despite the fact that they ran abortion clinics and had abortions. They're anti, because look how the movement ended at the end of their life. They have taken the movement further toward preserving unborn life than it was when they got involved. Same thing with the Founding Fathers. Benjamin Rush owned slaves. So did Ben Franklin. Yeah. But at the end of their life, had they done more to end the evil of slavery in America than others? Yes, absolutely. They got the nation organized and they got states organized to end slavery.
Well, David, that actually brings up our next question. Why did it take so long? This one comes from Kyle, and he asked basically the same thing. He said he's been to Wall Builders, read through the writings and the quotes, and loves the fact that, you know, we provide a counter to the popular idea that the founders of our nation were primarily white supremacists who loved slavery. However, he said, when I present this information to some of my friends who still hold this view, they point out that there's a difference between wanting to end slavery and actually doing it. The fact that slavery continued for so long into our nation's history is still an indictment on the founders and their principles as a whole. So his question is, if they were against it, why not get rid of it in their lifetimes?
Well, see, and that's the problem, is they don't know much about history. They think they do because slavery continued in the South, but in the North, it did not. You had founder after founder and state after state abolish slavery. For example, there were no slaves in Massachusetts after 1780 because the state constitution abolished that. You have Vermont, You have all the, you have Connecticut, you have all those states up there where the anti-slavery founders were that said, yeah, we're taking care of it, we're stopping it. Now, because of their view of limited government, the Massachusetts legislature is not allowed to legislate for Georgia. So don't say the founding fathers continued slavery. Say the Georgia founding fathers continued slavery, but the New England founding fathers stopped slavery. And you can do the same with Pennsylvania. You can do the same with all these other states. And even New York, where that they did not end slavery until a little later, still, your biggest slaveholder has six slaves? That's not the same comparison as looking at South Carolina and Georgia and North Carolina. Just a whole different ballgame. So when people respond like that, it's because, number one, they don't know much about history. And this is the way that history has been taught over the last several decades, is when it comes to racial history, we give a southern view of it, not a northern view. Therefore, we can tell you all about slavery, but we can't tell you about the fact that in Massachusetts, there never was a time when blacks could not vote. They can't tell you about the fact that all over New England, blacks voted and held office, such as Wentworth Chaswell, elected office in 1768. You have Thomas Hercules elected in 1793. These are black folks elected office in white states. So where's the racism? Well, you get it because you see Southern history and that's all the schools teach anymore. They don't teach the good, the bad, the ugly. They teach the bad and the ugly and are silent about the good. So the question that his friends are putting back to him is, well, how come they didn't end the institution? Well, time out. They did a whole lot to end the institution, but it's just like Texas can't force California to end all abortions. We've got lots of anti-abortion laws in Texas, but we're not allowed to do that for California. Same thing back then, which also means they don't understand the Constitution if they're asking that question. Understand their sentiment, but you have both reality, you have actual true history, and you have the Constitution that also comes into account. But don't tell me that the founding fathers were pro-slavery when only 14 of the 56 are documented as pro-slavery. That's 25% of the founding fathers. The other 75% did everything they could to end slavery.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back on Wallbuilders Live.
George Washington, the Constitution approaches near to perfection than any other government hitherto instituted among men.
If you ever wonder if it's over for America, can we restore those constitutional principles that made our nation great, then we want to encourage you. We want to show you some evidence of how it can be done. We want to show you the evidence behind what made America great in the first place. And we want to have some fun while we're doing it. It's called Chasing American Legends. It's our special television program that follows the Green family around the nation, investigating myths and legends about America. And it's amazing what we have found and what we've discovered. Dove Channel is now airing Chasing American Legends. We want you to check it out. We've got a link today at wallbuilderslive.com so you can find out more about Chasing American Legends. Airing now on the Dove Channel, we're going to take you and march with the Minutemen for the reenactment of April 19, 1775. That shot heard around the world. Take you to investigate the battles that George Washington was in. All kinds of great episodes. Check it out right now at dovechannel.com. Give our family a chance to inspire yours. We know we can give you some hope of the future of our nation. Check it out. Chasing American Legends at dovechannel.com.
Thomas Jefferson said, "The Constitution of most of our states and of the United States assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed, that they are entitled to freedom of person, freedom of religion, freedom of property, and freedom of press."
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wallbuilders Live. Final segment today in this Foundations of Freedom Thursday. And a great question today from Glenn on the signers of the Declaration and the founders and how they could have slaves and be anti-slavery. And so, David, you've answered that question, I think, incredibly well. And there's more materials, by the way, at our website. And you have a great article on the founders and slavery that folks can read there on our website as well. But you were going to come back to something that you said Kyle could share with his friends. Our second question today that also deals with this issue of why did it take so long then to get rid of slavery?
Well, if you look at what the Founding Fathers did legislatively, once the nation came together as a nation under the Constitution, they start passing anti-slavery laws. And so you look at the Founding Fathers, George Washington, 1789, signs a law that says any federal territory out there cannot have slavery. Now, you can't limit the states. Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, they have slavery. But he says no new state coming in the United States can have slavery. So Washington signs an anti-slavery law. Therefore, the six states that came in out of the Northwest Territory, Indiana, Ohio, and you have Michigan and Minnesota. They all came as anti-slavery states because Washington signed that law. 1794, he signed a law that said, we're not going to export any slaves from America to any other nation. That stops. Signed the law. 1808, Thomas Jefferson signed the law, says, we will not import any slaves into America. We're not going to have another slave coming to America from the outside. That's stopping. We're moving in the right direction. They're doing what they can. 1820, the Democrats get control of Congress, and they repeal George Washington's anti-slavery law. And they start repealing those anti-slavery laws. So it's not the founding fathers who perpetuated slavery. It's Democrats. And by the way, the statutes that have come down, every single Confederate statute that's come down has been of a Democrat leader. Nobody's talking about that. It's not the founding fathers who pushed the expansion of slavery. It's the Democrats who did, and they so wanted slavery that they were willing to start their own nation so they could have slavery. And by the way, that's why the Confederate Constitution says if you don't want slavery, you cannot be part of the Confederate States of America. Let's talk about Democrats expanding slavery rather than the founding fathers expanding slavery.
Well, in fact, we've got some other questions we couldn't get to today dealing with the statues and dealing with a lot of these issues, and we'll certainly hit those next Thursday on Foundations of Freedom Thursday. Be sure and visit our website. You can get some of the past programs as well. It's all available at wallbuilderslive.com. Thanks so much for listening to Wallbuilders Live.
President Calvin Coolidge said, "The more I study the Constitution, the more I realize that no other document devised by the hand of man has brought so much progress and happiness to humanity. To live under the American Constitution is the greatest political privilege that was ever accorded to the human race." We stand under-